Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello, and may the fourth be with you all.
Yeah. Revenge of the fifth, Kofi. Revenge of the fifth.
Oh, my Lord.
Time date. You know, I'm just trying to do my intro here, but that's okay.
You didn't even know. That's Kofi's just regular Wednesday look before he even gets lunch.
Welcome to Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today, I got an all-star squad. I have Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
And on loan from our other podcast, Phase Zero, we have producer Jim Viscardi's back with us for the first time in a long time.
What's up? I've missed all of you so much.
Oh, we missed you back. Legend.
And Hot Hands Viscardi coming in early when I'm trying to do my intro here, but we love having you back, buddy. So it's good to have you back. Hello, everyone. Today
you
we
brought
have
this upon yourself, Kofi. I'm sorry.
I know. I always know. I have special things for when I invite you or Charlie or BD. I have, you know, we have protocols just like COVID. But anyway, moving right along. Today, we got a lot of great geektastic stuff to talk about. So we're going to get into all. We're going to be talking about that new Marvel Phase 4 sizzle reel trailer, Star Wars The Bad Batch. We're going to talk about the end of Amazon's Invincible Season 1, but not the end of the show. And two comics I'm actually excited to talk about today, Heroes Reborn from Marvel, and the unexpected Dark Horse thing I would be excited to talk about, DC's Batman Fortnite. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, we have breaking news. Even as we're just sitting here, we were going to get into Marvel stuff, of course, first. And we have some Marvel breaking news right now. If you guys were just tuning in for the beginning of this podcast, it just dropped that Loki will be releasing on Disney Plus earlier than expected. So it's not a delay of like our usual delays that we've all kind of become traumatized to over the last year. This is coming early, but don't get too excited. Why shouldn't they get too excited, Jim?
Because it's Loki.
How dare you?
Okay. No, Matt.
This is how we're starting. Okay.
You watch your mouth. Okay. It's 2 days earlier. It's going to be Wednesday. Their tagline for this is Wednesday is the new Friday, which brings up a number of different things, right? So I'm curious to get the
yes, number one feel of the group for this podcast.
Yeah,
we're reacting because we're genuinely hearing this news for the first time and reacting to it and all that. Are you going to want to stay up all night on a Tuesday to watch Loki first thing?
I stay up all night on a Thursday.
No, But
you know, going into Friday, like it's Friday, it's different, you know, whatever.
Yes, I'm more tired.
I'm different.
I don't stay up for any of it.
The
so
middle of the week.
I just watch it when I wake up.
Feels like a tougher for people. And now, you know, I think the question then becomes, it was easier on Friday because you knew basically by Saturday, like we can go kind of like full in spoiler territory just as far as coverage goes, or even just like social etiquette online, right? Mm-hmm. Are we going to have to wait longer now?
No.
Because it's coming out on a Wednesday?
No.
We don't want to get on comics.
Yeah. We're not waiting.
It's not Wednesday morning.
No, I mean, this the only person I was about to say when you were done, like this diatribe, like the only people this is going to be a problem for are those people saying, I haven't watched it yet. Spoilers. I still want to be on social media. Like, if
that's
they're saving
of,
it for their
a
weekend,
lot of people who may not be able to see it,
and yet we still get these trending topics every week.
Yeah. I just think that instead of coming out with a different day, they should have come out with a different time. Like launch at 7 p.m. Central.
And that was going to be my thing. Could this be Disney slowly creeping back to appointment primetime viewing just on streaming?
They need to. Because it's ridiculous that we have to stay up that late at night. I mean, people have kids, like people have jobs. Like it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's kind of rude to the fans.
Give it to me.
This applies to you personally.
I feel like it applies to me specifically. I like to just work
kids with you and you make your own hours. This is, I appreciate you sticking up for those people, but that applies to nothing to you personally.
I want nothing more than to experience the bandwagon I jumped on during the final season of Game of Thrones, where everyone was watching it on the at the same time, enjoying it, you know, on social. Like it was like a movie theater experience, but like on, you know, on social or whatever, like that was a lot of fun. And that's what we need. Now, flip side of this is they probably want to avoid running into Black Widow, which is still going to come out on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, again, speculation here, but like, I guess if Wednesday is the new Friday for Marvel, I would assume that means Star Wars gets Friday. Cause right. Like I can't imagine Disney wants, because we're going to come to a point where that stuff's going to start overlapping.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to want a Star Wars show and a Marvel show on the same day. It's just going to eat into
that. They're putting Star Wars on the Friday.
I think the Black Widow point though is more closer to what the reasoning is, because like once we're getting to the point now where things are going to start rolling into theaters. And while it might not be as big of crowds as normal, there is going to be some of that returning, right? So Friday is going to eventually become the box office domain again, like it was. Yeah. And so I think it's actually kind of smart to get ahead of that and stake out a different day, experiment a little bit, gives you some time to figure out if that works. I don't see why it wouldn't.
If you can help lead into theaters and things like that, and
right,
I'm sure we'll get promotional. Don't be surprised that week when there's like at the end of Loki, there's a special Black Widow tag or something like that at the end of.
So. I love that.
My Wednesday is already crazy just because it's comic day. So it doesn't really bother me. It's fine. It just adds another thing to the pile.
Well, we thank you for your work.
I would love it. I would love it if now that it's on Wednesdays, Marvel and Disney found some way to like, I don't know, plug comics, at the end of the shows, maybe.
Hey, you enjoyed this? Go read
this. You should read this. Yeah.
Wednesday's new comic.
It's in the app. It's nuts. It's like,
I like the idea that this is something, it makes New Comic Book Day, you know, feel a little bit more special. You're getting, something multimedia Marvel related on that day. But give me come on, Marvel, give me that 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Start time.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah.
No.
I've been saying from the beginning. You like staying up, Kofi? Really?
Oh, I love starting my work day at 2 a.m. What are you talking about?
For CBS,
I love doing all these things. Yes. But all right, that's Loki. It's coming early. We're going to see. I mean, this is going to be an interesting experiment. I mean, to just be serious for a second, like this is going to be interesting to see what happens. And if Jim is right, like if we start to kind of slow roll into a primetime viewing block where we're getting everybody in on this, like it's going to be interesting to see. So we're going to keep an eye on that and tell you about it. But we got a lot more Marvel stuff to cover. So we got our first, Marvel is announcing its return to theaters with this MCU Phase 4 film. They call it Sizzle Reel. I'm just saying MCU Phase 4 trailer because it's sexier, that they kind of rolled out. And it gave us kind of more extensive looks at Black Widow and Shang-Chi. I feel like we've maybe seen all of Black Widow by this point.
Sure as hell feels like it.
I feel like unless they release the bloopers in theaters, that's going to be the only new thing. What else is there for me to see?
I mean, look, okay, like, it's fun to fun to joke, but I mean, look, there's a story to be told there, and like obviously,
what?
Look,
what they haven't shared.
They haven't shown us the mid-credits scene, Matt, so that's the whole reason to go see the movie anyway.
So far, I think we have three fights with Taskmaster, a chase scene with Yelena, we got to get Captain or Red Guardian out.
My eyes can't roll.
Yeah, there's the prison sequence, the aerial sequence. I think that's pretty much it. I think we're good.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I think we're good. But yeah, we saw some more of Song-Chi, which actually I liked what I saw in the sizzle reel. Like, I know it was just brief, but it was because it was more action. I think when we talked about the trailer, we were all kind of like, it was good, but we want to see more of the action, and it was kind of light on that. So some of that still looked really exciting. And we got our first look at Eternals. Jim, it's good you're here. Jim, what's going on with this movie, man? how scared should we be about Eternals? Like, even when they're in the sizzle reel now, they're just like, here's two clips. Angelina with Jolie with a sword and them gathering for their Avengers shot. Like,
here's the thing, though, right? Like we just kind of talked about them, you know, moving Loki off of Fridays because of overlapping stuff, right? And like, we're about to enter two. Who knows what they're going to do for Black Widow again, but like, we're about to enter two pretty heavy promotional periods, one for Loki, one for Black Widow. And so like, why add Eternals into that mix? It's just going to like totally get lost. Let's get to Loki. And then, you know, we have plenty of time for Eternals. Like, and so, you know, look, so this is
expert marketing strategy. I see.
Yeah. I mean, look, I get it, right? Like, they're like, we know this movie has been done for a really long time. And there are a lot of people, including myself, who want to see this trailer, who want to start getting excited for Eternals. But there are a lot of other things that Marvel has coming up sooner that they need us to be excited for. And
better
so
things. Right.
They're just got
other
also thing. in defense, because I'm not I have said on the show I'm not the biggest, I don't dislike Eternals, I'm not as big a fan as Jim, right? So I just don't have even a preference to Eternals. Yeah. I don't even have an opinion to form, really. What I will say, though, is if there is a movie unlike Black Widow and like even before Wonder Woman 1984, the rollout hadn't started yet.
Nope.
So like those movies, the rollout had already started. We were seeing merch in stores and all this. And then the pandemic really hit full swing. And also they delayed their decisions that they should have made in the first place. But I digress. Then, so that was why the delays have hurt that movie. And we've seen so much of it already. Eternals, is this the first three clips? Right? Is this the first three?
This
looks?
Is the first. This is the
this
first,
is the first
footage
thing of anything. Yeah,
we have seen.
Right.
We got. I mean,
we've
obviously,
seen set
we
photos, but like other
we
than
saw
that,
set photos. We got. Well, we've seen the toys, right? Because unfortunately, that train left the station before they could stop it. And that's really it. And you know, like the shots were fine.
But I don't think it hurts. I think this is actually to your point.
There are pretty sunset.
They can push. It doesn't hurt Eternals one way or the other if they move it around, if they kind of push it off to start focusing on some of the other things, because again, we know so little about it. There is like such little out there. Even
the
costumes,
general public knows nothing.
Right.
So like, I don't think it hurts it at all. In fact, it might, the long play might actually work in its favor for people like me to get them a little, some of that mystery, that mystery.
When it's the only Marvel thing to look forward to and get excited about, that's it's going to work in their favor.
So I don't, I don't think it's bad right now.
I mean, I'm excited about it. I, not having a lot of background in the Eternals and knowing much about it. I mean, just seeing Angelina Jolie with that Doctor Strange looking sword was awesome.
No one knew who the Guardians were, and it's Marvel's biggest franchise. One of Marvel's biggest franchises. So
yeah. I'm excited.
You really thinking that Eternals is going to come out with a trailer with a personality and wow factor as Guardians of the Galaxy?
Let me have hope, Kofi. Okay.
Okay. I mean, it looks. I mean, they're pretty sunsets for sure. What? Like, Kevin Feige wasn't wrong about that.
Angelina Jolie looked cool in that one shot.
she did. So just to be fair, we know there's a trailer that exists. It's coming probably pretty soon. Yes. I would. You know, a lot of people speculate mid-May, and I would say that's probably pretty correct for the first teaser we'll get, because Song-Chi was, you know, it comes out in September. We got it mid-April. Eternals comes out in early November. I think still early November, right? So that's, mid-May would be a good time for that first teaser, and I'd expect probably the full trailer after Black Widow or attached to Black Widow or something like that. But even Angelina Jolie, who's kind of let it drop that she's seen the trailer, it's just like, oh, I don't know. I just always am holding like a sword and doing these poses. That's just me in movies. And it's just like, I feel the same way. But it was a cool sword. So we're going to see like what's going on. I mean, I have been fair in some of the articles we've written that there's like Captain Marvel, which we're going to get to soon. The first film, there are probably things they can't show you right now because they want to maintain surprise. There's the whole Thanos connection to Eternals and all that stuff. Right. So there could be a lot of interesting stuff in this movie that they some just don't want to. Some of the
celestial stuff that needs to shock and awe, essentially. Yeah. So if you see too much of that ahead of it, that trailer, I feel like, yeah, it's going to rob it of some of that impact.
Yeah. So the caveat here is there could be a lot in Eternals that they don't want to spoil. I mean, there's a lot of historical stuff that could be really cool and surprising. So it's going to be interesting to see how they market this film. So that was Eternals. We ragged on that for a minute. We got titles for two films that were highly anticipated, Captain Marvel 2 and Black Panther 2. Black Panther 2 is called Wakanda Forever, which, you know,
great title.
Is a great title and is just a fitting tribute to both the franchise and its continuing legacy after the loss of Chadwick Boseman. You know, I think I heard that and, you know, I got a swell of just like pride and, you know, cheer from that. Mm-hmm. And, so that's good. Cause it applies that even without him, we're going to keep this thing alive and keep it going.
Yeah.
Matt, why don't you tell us what the title of Captain Marvel 2 is?
You got me. COVID got me so spicy before the show even started.
This was great.
Jim had to send me a cease and desist letter on the side.
With the layout, because I was like livid. I was like so mad. All right. So of course it is the Marvels, and the S at the end, of course, is the Marvel symbol that we saw. For those who have been hanging around comicbook.com, you've likely seen the Miss Marvel costume for the first time, which looks dope. It looks so good.
So good.
And of course, we know that Teyonah Parris's Monica Rambeau and Miss Marvel are going to be in Captain Marvel 2, now called the Marvels. So the Marvels makes total sense. And all of those converge. Kofi said that she cannot, that Captain Marvel, the title indicates that she cannot hold her own movie. Nay, sir.
Because he wrote that in the show notes that we all shared.
Guys, the show notes are a private
place. Captain Marvel in the show notes.
The show notes are a private place.
It was great. It was a wonderful morning.
No, I was just sipping my coffee. I even called it out on Twitter. All right, I called it out on Twitter. I was like, unlike Spider-Man. All right. Okay, unlike Spider-Man, she is the backbone of all the other characters coming into her movie. Whereas Spider-Man, it's really his amazing friends. And oh, hey, they forgot to invite Spider to his own damn movie. That's the difference. These don't exist without Carol. Everybody else existed without Peter.
Here's the Marvel that everyone's leaving out that like it may be the biggest surprise of them all. The Blue Marvel is probably, I would imagine, is going to show up.
Blue Marvel will be here when the fest goes. Yeah. Be here on the Fisto. All I pointed out is,
all right, Marvel shows up, we'll just save the tape, save the clip, and then it's going to be a big all I told you so.
If you know what, okay, I will. I don't know. We don't. I don't think we've ever bet. I think the only bet we've had was like a Charlie bet so long
we've
ago.
We've had like 50 bets when we were in the office.
I didn't have a bet. I don't bet. Things ever.
it'll be very interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this all like ties together, right? Like there's gonna have to be some tie to Secret Invasion, because I think just everything that has been, the pieces that have been dropped leading up to this point is gonna have something there. And so like and then everyone, like, well, you know, when we got Monica Rambeau in her photon gear, right? Like everyone is clamoring for an Ultimates, you know, style adventure kind of thing. So is that something, you know, we can see potentially coming up? And then, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, Blue Marvel fits right in.
I don't know. I think that's very Reddit theory spinning out of control. Wow. It makes sense. Okay. The reason why these two characters joining the movie makes sense is because they're all actually connected by story. Like the reasons Miss Marvel exists, she looks up to Carol, right? Monica Rambeau has a personal connection to Carol. Like those circles, like I don't want them to start just throwing stuff in. I don't need the kitchen sink in this movie. I want you to focus on the relationships that exist and are the reason. I don't need all that.
Can we agree that the name is not that great?
I mean, it's a great, I disagree. I think it's great. If you have a problematic lead that was controversial, what do you do? Oh, you mean
one who stands up for things that people don't like? Yes.
You basically just, you enhance it, you add more people, And then you go on the strongest thing in the franchise, the word Marvel, and you make it plural. And there it is. It's like the most Marvely Marvel thing you can Marvel. Yeah.
I asked a question mainly because, right? Like, look, there's,
I'm just kidding. I was here. Just go back and listen to the tapes, guys. I was on the side of defending Captain Marvel. And even before it came out, and Brie Larson, I'm not insulting everybody. I'm just,
yeah, it was me and Brandon.
My only concern for the name is it feels a little too nondescript. Like, I get why it's the name.
Yeah,
right?
People are going to have the Incredibles movie.
Yeah. And I know, you know, initially there were rumors that, you know, Captain Marvel 2 was going to, you know, be subtitled Secret Invasion or have something, something along those lines. And so I don't know what subtitle I would have been happy with. This title just feels,
evidently Blue Marvel.
I feel like it feels powerful.
That's who you really want in this movie.
I think this is probably more just because I'm just a comic nerd, right? But like, I remember, you know, like Marvel having the series, right? The Marvels or whatever, and it was just more of a look at, you know, like the Marvel universe and whatever. And so I always get a little itchy when, like, the name and the company are very close.
All I ever say is, yeah, I take people back to this because we started this trend in the 2000s of trying to come up, and I blame Nolan a lot for this, but like making up these clever titles that don't have to have like the hero's name in it, the Dark Knight. But I always tell you guys the story of like being in an apartment at the time, and, you know, my now wife living with this girl, in us seeing a commercial like the day before The Dark Knight came out, and her seeing that commercial because they were, you know, flooding the market with ads, and seeing this ad for The Dark Knight and her getting so mad and being like, I will never see that movie. They are totally copying off Batman. And being like, wow, like, this is not a good idea for these movie titles. Because people, there is a range of person who just does not, it doesn't click. They don't get it. And so like the Marvels, whenever they take the main kind of branding thing away and they just replace it with like a different word, I worry about the deductively challenged segment of society that's not going to put that together. And so I actually do worry about, you know, once again, Brie Larson and Carol Danvers getting, you know, overshadowed in her own film. The first film, she had to kind of, they did this problematic thing with the memory stuff and how much Carol could be Carol and all that stuff. And this is just going to be like, oh wait, this is a Carol Danvers movie. Like, you know, I mean, I just don't want to see that kind of stuff crop up. I think they deserve better, but I think when people do begin to see the actual things they're bringing to the table, I mean, this is like a Charlie's Angels of Captain Marvel and Marvel powered ladies. And so I think it's going to be kind of cool when you get the visuals. I think that will help sell it. We got to take a quick break, but we are going to talk about some things in the Spider-Man universe real quick when we come back. We got to pay these bills, but yeah, we're going to talk. Some people in the comments were asking. We're going to talk about Andrew Garfield and we're going to talk about Venom 2 really quick. So when we come back, stay tuned for Spider-Man Talk.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Okay, we are back, and let's just pick up and say we're going to talk about. Yeah, it scares me when that comes back on. You guys don't know. Everything's all quiet on our end until the intro music comes back in and freaks us out every time. But it does its job. Rich gets you ready. He gets you up in the seat. You're like, oh, okay. But yeah, let's just address what's going on in the Spider-Man universe real quick before we move on. First of all, no, I don't believe Andrew Garfield. No, I don't believe he's just, yeah, he flat out denied being in Spider-Man No Way Home. No, I don't believe him.
We had Alex in the chat asking that. Do you believe?
He didn't flat out deny it.
He said he didn't get the call.
He said he didn't get the call.
Maybe he got an email.
Email, exactly. Like,
text. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But the larger... Okay.
Maybe his agent got the call?
But the larger comment, as the person who transcribed that whole thing, he does go on to say, comparing it to like Mafia or Werewolf, where he's literally seeing people talking about that thing and going, it's not me. Like, I don't know. The other part was not convincing. That was like typical PR speak. But the other part, I don't know. I was kind of like, he still can find a way to worm out of it if it's true.
Listen,
but like, I don't know. That part wasn't as phony to me.
I was just going to say, I did the junket for both Amazing Spider-Mans, and I was lied to multiple times. So, like, I don't believe anything any actor says about these things. And there's still a possibility. Like, we've all been kind of... I've always been up in the air about the timing of all this. COVID provided some kind of cover for them to kind of do all this stuff. And so I've always wondered if this Spider-Man mania is part of like Doctor Strange or Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm still kind of the conspiracy theorist on that. So we're going to see, because we've all been expecting the multiverse to be like all up in arms by now. But like WandaVision told us that's not correct.
Which you guys saw that drop. That like we were really supposed to have Doctor Strange in WandaVision, and all those commercials were supposed to be a message from him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm so bummed we didn't get that.
Yeah. So I mean, so far, the only thing that is going to play in the multiverse for sure, there's Loki and Doctor Strange that we know for sure. So I'm not sure that all these other Spider-Men, it could be just a turn of phrase. Maybe he didn't get the call for that film. Maybe that's not where that's going. So we'll see.
I mean, he couldn't tell us either way.
No.
We got to stop pressuring these people.
No, I mean, it doesn't happen. They just
they brought up Werewolf. I'm not going to lie.
And Venom 2. We still haven't gotten anything for Venom 2 yet, and a lot of fans were mad after this Marvel sizzle reel came out that we haven't seen one thing for Venom 2, not one promo image. And it's up there with Eternals of getting kind of like, what's going on? When are we going to see something for this film? But we don't know. So there's that. All right. Moving right along from Marvel, let's talk about Invincible real quick. Amazon's Invincible. We had Robert Kirkman on the show a couple episodes ago. If you guys haven't checked that out, go back a couple episodes and definitely check that out, because he had interesting things to say about this animated series and the movie. And I think since then we know now that the animated series has been renewed for two more seasons. We're getting seasons 2 and 3. And there's been an interesting conversation about Invincible. It's been kind of a slow burn climber, I feel like, in terms of kind of generating hype. And I've seen some unusually critical responses from people on like film Twitter and geek Twitter, basically saying, you know, oh, I just feel like this show's meandering. Like, where is it going? Well, it was hard to watch that finale episode and not feel like, wow. I mean, this show, I feel like more so than any kind of big geek or superhero shows I've seen recently, really stuck the landing in its finale episode. It wasn't the episode before the last episode that was the best. This finale episode was the best, and it really brought the emotional core of the series into focus. So we're going to talk spoilers about Invincible.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers about Invincible. If you haven't seen it, just come back in like 3 or 4 minutes. We'll be moved on to the Bad Batch. But we're going to talk Invincible spoilers. So, just kind of seeing Invincible Mark go up against his father, Omni-Man, and just how, I mean, if you thought the premiere episode in its red wedding ending was bad, like, wow, this finale was there. The amount of times, and I love this about the show, that it shows you like Mark trying to save somebody, and you're going to be like, oh, he's going to save that person. Like, it's going to, you know, there's some hope here. And then that person gets like horribly killed.
It crushes you literally.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, like everything you knew about like superhero shows playing on those tropes, like it really messes you up. And
And we have a frozen Cozy.
We got frozen Cozy.
I thought it was me. I was like, oh man.
That was awesome. Computer. Yeah. I love this. Is this is a live stream. It's awesome. Yeah.
No, I think what he's getting to is basically that, like, look, this is a show that is so visceral in what it does, and that it creeps up on you, right? Like, because in the first, in like the first two episodes, like I'll be the first to admit, I wasn't like sold on the show until maybe I got
That scene in Chicago.
I've been halfway through. Oh,
that's COVID.
Yeah. The first two episodes didn't necessarily sell me. And then I got the third one. I was like, oh, OK, I'm definitely in. Just when you just goes to show like how important building those interpersonal relationships are between like the cast, and to be able to do that for an animated show and do it so well that like when you get to the final episode and you know they're showing flashbacks of young Invincible, I'm like, whoa, come on,
that moment hit me like a freight train.
Yep. This show got me episode one with the end of it, and I don't watch animated shows very much at all, like not my deal, but I was hooked right away. And as like someone who has not read the comic books, I'm sure all of you have probably read these. I want to read them now. Like, I'm like, I have to read these comic books. And honestly, when you go back and you do some research into like, you know, YouTube, what are the Easter eggs of these episodes? It's crazy. There are so many awesome tidbits that I just like, I now want to rewatch the whole season and kind of pick up on all those little things. It's really well done. Like, I just can't believe how much I like this animated show. And I'm really excited about season two for sure.
Well, referring to what Kofi was saying, like, I don't know what show everyone else was watching midway to the later end of the season. if they're saying like, oh, there wasn't, it was kind of meandering this and that, like the whole point, the reason why the finale and even I would argue the second, the final episode hits like it does is because those relationships have been established. You can't get there without devoting some time to it. And while, you know, like their whole foray to the college, right? On its, like, if you were just to read that in the script, you might go, well, that seems like it's really diverting this, like the attention where we did. But that is crucial because there's a lot of great stuff there that happens between all of Mark's friends and his girlfriend and all that stuff. And then of course with the mom and dad. So like, all of that was important and you don't get the impact of those final two episodes. So I don't really understand that criticism because a lot of was intentional and I thought did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. I think the more meandering the part of that conversation really comes down to that episode length. I think an hour is a little too long. There are definitely some scenes that feel like they linger a bit more. And so I don't know if it was, they nipped a few things here and there and kept it to maybe 40 minutes. And I think half hour is definitely too short.
Yes.
But I think, making it 40 minutes, I think potentially serves the same purpose. And I think helps streamline the narrative a little bit because the weird thing too, and you see it at the end of that kind of sizzle reel for the, seasons for season two, right? Like all the stuff that like that's to come basically, which is like one of those classic comic tropes is like, there's a ton of dangling plot threads.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Oh my God.
And part of me is like, what if they didn't renew the show? Right? Like it's just all like they.
Well, it's a teaser for all the comic books. You have to read them.
I don't think any of that affects it in a negative. Like if this had been a one and done, I don't think any of those threads.
Yeah, am I back?
You would really.
They did such a good job. Yes, you're back, Kofi. Oh, yes, totally. Welcome back. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, my entire house internet crashed. Thank you for public Wi-Fi.
Course.
I don't think there were dangling threads. I think that montage was a thing where you could leave on that showed you that the world was just going to, how things had developed of what they're.
We lost him again.
Quick shout out to that Brett in the comments. Mm-hmm. That line was, that was hurtful. So also the moment where Omni-Man holds Mark's head through the train or through the subway or the bus.
Yes.
I don't remember what it was exactly. Holds his head and like his hands keep moving and they keep accidentally splitting people. Like, oh, that whole moment was just, that was so
insane.
That was so well done.
I just want to say like there's a lot, obviously, Omni-Man, I think they built Omni-Man to be a great villain. But like, if you thought, and comic readers will know this, like if you thought Omni-Man was like a big threat, like there are even bigger ones waiting in the wings kind of thing that I'm excited for them to get to see where it goes basically.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about where it's going.
This show's my favorite at this point in 2021. I get it. We're not even halfway. So there's plenty of room to bring in other things. It's my favorite superhero show of the year. Like it's not,
not even close.
Like it's, this is the show I would take a new season tomorrow. And if it was all on Netflix, I'd binge that.
Should we go around and say what, which show? Cause mine would be definitely be WandaVision for sure. Give me more seasons.
I don't know what WandaVision. Jim, what is yours?
But for the year so far?
Yeah.
Oh man, you know what?
we get the sound.
It may still be WandaVision.
Yes.
It may still be WandaVision for me.
WandaVision, let's go.
Right now, I really enjoyed that. I actually went back and rewatched it, and I think the show does have rewatchability. And so I would say that for sure.
Yes, yes, ice cold. It's not even close. And that's considering take off the first two episodes because those things almost serve no purpose. So take those off. And even that like streamlined show, I'll take Invincible any day of the week.
That's awesome. I mean, Invincible was amazing. And honestly, I feel like, I mean, I know Kopi's not here, but another show, obviously, I'm just going to move this forward onto our next topic. Another big show worth a huge mention because it has been Star Wars Day, has been Bad Batch. They dropped that yesterday. Did you guys get a chance to watch it? What were your thoughts?
I was going to say, were you going to say that was potentially one of your favorite things or?
Bad Batch?
Yeah.
Yes, I can't believe how much I love this show.
Really? So did you watch Clone Wars before coming into this?
No, I did not. But now I'm starting it and I'm really, really excited about it. I only had like one qualm, which I don't even think I should go there because it was something very small and me just being overly critical.
Yeah, do it.
The voice of the kid Jedi in the beginning was so freaking weird. It sounded like he was a grown 40-year-old man, and they kept calling him kid. They're like, kid, hey kid, hey kid, and he's like, what's up? He's just like this really manly voice. That is my only qualm, but I was so excited about the animation. I followed the story very easily. I felt like they explained the Clone Wars and where everything was. I obviously don't have a ton of knowledge in Star Wars, but I'm definitely not inexperienced. I know a little bit of the lore and the backstory. And I cannot believe how much I enjoyed this either. I was just really, really shocked and excited to experience the show. I'm pumped. So what did you guys think about it?
You know, there was a question in the chat from, Danu the Pug. And, you know, what the question is like, do you have to watch Rebels and Clone Wars before Bad Batch? And, you know, this is always the answer is no. I don't think you do, right? Janelle just proved that you can still enjoy it and be able to go back. I think anyone who ever feels like you are on the fence of starting a new show or starting a new comic book series or whatever, like, you know, we are at a point now where almost all of our geek entertainment does not have a starting point, right? Like, or it's either in the middle of something or whatever. Like we're so far past that. And I would just say, and I, like I always say, jump in. And if you enjoy it, like you don't even have to work backwards yet. Watch this for what it is. I think Bad Batch had a great, you know, feature length style, intro for what the show is, what you can expect. Watch another week. If you're not sold by then, which I think you will be, then, you know, in whatever free time you may have, work backwards because it will only enhance your experience. It will not take away from your experience not having watched it. Like there is the only thing you really need to know about the Bad Batch is that it is a group that is introduced, in Clone Wars. But that's really, you know, that's all you really need to know. Right. Like if you have a working understanding on what the Clone Wars were, and that there, you know, that there was this period in between that, you know, that got covered obviously through the show. That's all you need to know. And then just go backwards and then enjoy
it. I think they actually do a really good job here of getting you up to speed because they even do the aftermath thing of like, here's where we left off. And it's like old school Batman 66 style, which I actually kind of done with the over the top narration. And me and Janelle talked about this, right? Where like it's the property's job to fill you in. Everything is someone's possible entry into a franchise.
Right.
So if they don't take you into consideration, peace. Like, watch it. If it doesn't grab you and they don't do enough to explain it, yes, you can go read supplemental material, but that's their fault. Like, they should account for that. So, yeah, I think this actually did a really good job. I'm going to admit, I did go in gunning like, oh, my God, like, it's another Order 66 thing. I mean, between the games, the comics, the movies, the shows, that has been so covered.
Right.
In so many ways and so many like, hey, did you know that this guy was operating on this side of the galaxy? Like, there's all these holes being filled all the time. So you never know what's really real. But I think they quickly move from like they took an interesting angle on that as far as like having it be from someone's perspective of like, well, we work with them, but like all of this is happening on the fly and we're on the other side. And typically is from the Jedi side. It's typically from the Republic side. In this case, it's these kind of, you know, these outliers who work for the Republic, but like there's even dissension amongst them of like, you know, whether or not they should go with it, with the order or defy it. So that is interesting. I think overall though, the personalities of the team are what make it worth it. Yeah. I mean, those guys as a group are great. So
look, I enjoyed this a bit, but I think, you know, even kind of like what you just said before, right? Like, do we need another show?
This is what happens when I drop off. Really?
No. We just had a great conversation, but now
when my internet goes out,
but like, do we need another, you know, story, around the time of what happened to Order 66?
This is the prime flashback era of Star Wars.
We don't need it.
Yes, you do.
It's great.
The Bad Batch is great the reign of the Empire era, which is like they've redone the Star Wars timeline. So now there's this whole reign of the Empire. That's when the Empire kind of we're getting the details of how it rose, how it solidified power long before the rebellion started in Rebels and Star Wars Rebels. And there is like a whole lifetime period of that, like 30, you know, decades of it. And it's interesting to go into that period in films like Solo, now the Batch, and explore this universe from characters who are not on either side, who are morally gray, right? Like Solo in that whole
literally just thing.
I heard Jim stuff in the Bad Batch are one of the most interesting because they're not connected to the underworld. They're not connected to anything. They're just free floating. So I think it is a necessary Star Wars chapter because it's actually something we haven't really explored.
Well, that's our sticking point.
I guess there's going to be stuff coming with High Republic, right? And we're going to get some stuff potentially in that era. But I think the other thing too is, like, you wouldn't want like a show set in like the Old Republic era or just like something wildly different off the exploring a part of the timeline that we just haven't, you know, gotten a ton of outside of like maybe games or, EU books.
I don't know.
We did a whole episode on the High Republic.
I dropped out for a second there. I literally don't know.
We did a whole episode on the High Republic though. And Kofi was super excited.
No, and lots of them I imagine that stuff is coming, right? Because they still have to lay a bunch of groundwork down. But like there's already groundwork for like Old Republic stuff that is still still incredibly awesome ground to cover with incredible characters and whatever that I would love to see more of. But new Star Wars stuff new Star Wars content is stuff to get excited about. I just would like to start exploring things that are not so tied to the main trilogy timeline that we have been circling for a while, at least in animation. Right.
I think they're doing a good job. I think I want new stuff too. I want High Republic to get an animated series or just a series of the Acolytes coming, but that's the end of the High Republic. It's not really connected to it, as Kevin Scott told us. So I want High Republic stuff. I want Old Republic stuff, but I do like kind of going and filling in these blanks of like specifically this time period. And I like the comics that kind of are filling in, like Dr. Aphra's awesome. And fills in much stuff from the original trilogy.
That makes me so
like,
happy.
You know, the Battle of Hoth and how they found like all that stuff. The Darth Vader comic is great and showing just, you know, what his relationship with Sidious was and how crazy, abusive, and nasty and all this stuff that led to Return of the Jedi, I think these things are interesting when done right. Let's just put the pin on that. Not fan service, but like when done correctly and telling deeper stories. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. And the bad, and I think what Matt said is correct, because I did hear that part. It's the Bad Batch characters who are like really just good. And their drama in that shootout in the first episode was powerful, because this was a unit and one of their brothers goes rogue. And, you know, that shootout and that tense moment before they all start firing is there was actual emotional depth to that.
Yeah.
Plus, now I want to know what's up with Omega and where she factors in, because, you know, Star Wars is setting something up. She's just a kid now. So, like, where does this kid end up? This enhanced clone. And like, what is she going to be doing? Okay. You know, it's something. So that's cool.
I've got one other last question before I know we got to jump to comics, but like, Kofi, you know, you being the Star Wars expert, do you anticipate this filling in any holes that are then going to be felt elsewhere?
Phrasing, but yes,
I know. Okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
but like immediately elsewhere. Right. Like, you know, like whether it is in live action or whatnot, but like, we feel this anywhere else?
I think this is opening the door to something, because we don't know what happened to the Bad Batch. Right.
That's true.
Or any of these enhanced clone, and including Omega. And so Star Wars builds these things and starts these stories to do more stuff now. Like, nothing is done without like a whole franchise plan. So like, will Omega show up in season 3 of The Mandalorian? Like, you know, what is going on here? All this kind of stuff. And what happened to the Bad Batch and what did they do? There's a lot of ways to kind of tie that into interesting things to come. So I would love to see that kind of take place and see where this thing. And the thing I like about this, I have no idea where this is going. So, and that's kind of fresh and exciting for this. So, but I would like to see, I don't want to take this journey for just a self-contained reason. I want to see it lead to something bigger. And this idea of the enhanced clones is interesting to me.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Half Sen Josh on the, I think that's a great casting choice.
Yeah. Chloe Bennett for Dr. Aphra. Oh my God. I would love that. I love that. That's like one of my favorite comics right now. So yeah, but, that's Star Wars, the Bad Batch. I mean, they did deliver a feature length premiere, so we got something good out of that. But yeah. All right, Matt, speaking of comics, what else we got this week in comics while I'm still, you know, internet?
Well, we don't have any Star Wars. Well, actually, we do. There is a new Star Wars series that started. I think it's Bounty Hunters.
Which looks freaking amazing. It's just a one shot. And I'm going to shout it out really quick, but it's Steve McNiven art. And good. I wish that dude could keep up with a regular monthly schedule. I thought that book looked so good.
Yeah, it's good. So if you do want to check out something new, Star Wars today, you definitely can. And while we're on the subject of artists that struggle with a monthly output, I'm going to move over to Heroes Reborn, because Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness, we've been talking about this series. Of course, it references the
weirdest pairing.
Well, see, I'm okay with this pair, because they've been on Avengers together for a little bit.
I didn't know that.
They kicked off Aaron's run, I think.
Yeah, right? And a lot of this book very much like extends from Avengers. So, like, if you haven't been reading Avengers and like
that was my Blades question to you. Yeah, I know that Blade's on team, but was this out of the Phoenix stuff? Like, where did this
part? I mean, the part it's a there. Weird gray area, because like right now, right, the last thing in Avengers is that like Blade is a sheriff kind of now of Dracula's area, and like there's Echo is the new Phoenix and things like that. But here it doesn't really touch on any. You don't really need to have kept up with the last 4 or 5 issues of Avengers to start here. I will say, if you read the initial arcs, you'll probably be a little more filled in. But
yeah, like the only thing you need to know coming into this is that something has happened. It's
Flashpoint.
The Avengers are not quite
Age of X.
This is the Avengers version of Age of Apocalypse.
It's one of the 90 alternate reality.
Well, I'd say it's more like Flashpoint, because it's not like the world's a hellscape. Like, it's not all bad. Right. It's just an altered hero kind of status quo, right?
So to set the stage, right? Because most people know of the series, and when we talked to Jason about the series, he was kind of like, aside from the title, this really has nothing to do with Heroes Reborn, which is infamous for a whole lot.
Do never drag that up. Never drag that up.
But he was like, it's really just the name, right? Which is like, okay. So we're going from there. It's essentially, the impression I got from here was that this is his way. And I think when we had Jamie Lovett, he also kind of brought this up. This is really JLA versus Avengers setting up in the long haul, because the Squadron Supreme are essentially Marvel's version of Justice League.
Yeah.
And we're going to start to put the Avengers together over the course of whatever, right? And like, Blade is Bishop in this Age of Apocalypse tale. So he's the only one that knows how the previous world was supposed to be. And I, what I do love about, by the end of this issue, we actually get some forward movement on like the pullback of the curtain here, right? We see some interesting stuff about the Coulson thing. We see some things about Thor and Cap. So like, we're already starting to move in that direction, which I like. I don't need three issues of setup of this world and then go where we know you're already going. So that is what I'm actually glad that the pace is kept. I wouldn't say this is, I will say it's gorgeous. McGinnis draws some amazing stuff here.
I'm hard on McGinnis, but this was actually not bad.
It was pretty good. But I wasn't floored. I'm not going to, like, it wasn't anything that I wasn't expecting. And so I think that's my biggest nitpick with it, is that it didn't really shock me in any way.
I was intrigued. And like, I'm going to be in issue two, but I, like you, I wasn't floored. I think the biggest thing for this book was that they have Blade as the protagonist, because he was a great guide to like a crazy world and all this new stuff. Yeah. And the characterizations are interesting, like the Squadron Supreme and kind of using them and really leaning into the DC-ness of it all, like Nighthawk is Batman and doing that whole thing. And that was really kind of interesting. And just seeing how this world is constituted and different was interesting. But like, yeah, there needs to be a better kind of hook to this, I think. Like, we need to see some kind of antagonist, like, something better.
Well, but I think that's it, right? Like, I think this, this suffers a little bit from first issue setup, right? Like, and I think, you know, there was a lot of hype and whatever around this. And, but like, I think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough in the sense that like, okay, I'm here for the core book. Do I need to read? Do I have any interest in reading the spinouts? Absolutely not.
Which there are a lot.
Wait, there are spin outs to this?
Oh, they're treating this exactly like
Age of Apocalypse. Right? It's going to have like
all of the varied, there's new teams, you know, the heroes or whatever. Like, there's a lot going on here. But look, I can't go wrong with Ed McGuinness art. I freaking love that stuff. It's fresh and clean. The other thing is that, like I said, this has intrigued me more as an Avengers story obvious bias here, but like, since the Age of Khonshu arc in Avengers. Like, I did not care about that Phoenix, the Phoenix stuff that was going on. I love the idea that like, this is picking up a thread, including Coulson, that's from way back in the Avengers run. So like I said, you can start here in Heroes Are Born. If you have questions about like the Coulson of it all, there's plenty of stuff for you to kind of go back and check out.
But you gotta stop bringing Outcast into this mess.
There's a lot, but there's a lot here to kind of chew on that. Like, I think Jason Aaron is much better at telling that contained story in however many issues this is than I think anyone else is for a story, you know, kind of at this level of complexity. But I'm curious to see what happened. Like, what happened to the Avengers, and why is Coulson going to become a major villain in the Marvel universe? And if that's the case, then like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I there are some interesting things at play. Janelle, what'd you think?
I feel like you guys just said it perfectly. I'm interested to see where it goes. I feel excited about seeing Blade because I haven't really read a Blade comic yet. And I wouldn't say it's like a huge comic book moment for me, but it's definitely something I'm going to continue on with and check out and see. I mean, it doesn't intrigue me the way like King in Black did, you know, with crossovers and other things, but we'll see. I mean, where are the Avengers? I want to know what's going on.
Well, I think part of it too is, right, it has a fairly predictable ending, right? Like, you know, inevitably the world is going to go back to normal. And so like, unless there is something super groundbreaking in a change,
Thanos has rings now.
Yeah,
right. Well, that's actually been one of my biggest things, and then we'll move on to another book, but like, this has actually been one of my biggest nitpicks with Aaron's Avengers run as opposed to his Thor run, is that a lot of the Avengers stories do kind of end in a predictable way. They present interesting hooks for like future content, and Aaron's really good about picking up old threads and repurposing them and giving them new life. But at the same time, if you take the individual stories, like even Age, pretty predictable in how it ended. You know, same way with the Phoenix. Like, yes, you didn't necessarily know who was going to be the Phoenix, but just how everything kind of played out, yeah, you kind of did. Yeah. So far, it hasn't had the same impact to me as like his Thor run, which constantly kind of played on your expectations and shifted it and was continuously spinning into really interesting, fresh ideas. Whereas
That's where I feel like a missed opportunity at the end of that Khonshu run obviously was start Moon Knight then. Like, don't start, don't wait months to start, you know, a new Moon Knight book. Start it then. You're still going to have, you know, a Moon Knight trade out in time, you know, plenty of Moon Knight trades out in time for when the Disney Plus series comes out, right? But, like, you know, if it's going to pick up threads from there anyway, then go there. Same thing with the Phoenix, right? Like, when that story ended, like, start a book out from that, as you know, that goes from there. And so it's just, you know. We get whatever, but let's talk about
Moon Knight. I will say that Moon Knight series looks fun. Let's
move on. Hold on. Before we move on, I just want to say the thing that I'm kind of not liking about these Aaron runs in Age of Khonshu and now this is like they're overusing this trope of like changing the entire world when it could be much smaller and contained. In Age of Khonshu, he like took over Earth and it didn't feel like anything. Right. It felt like that had no stakes or lasting impact on anything. Although,
like, that would have been a cool event.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like, that would have been a cool event book potentially. Like,
yeah.
Well, living it makes under sense, right? That like Heroes Reborn was originally going to be, it feels like it was going to be
an arc of Avengers.
Right. And so Aaron pays that off down the line of like, hey, I've been playing with reality this whole time. And here's the ramifications of that. And something comes into play to contextualize all those. Like Kofi said, it will just feel like there's no stakes. There's never any tension of, well, it's always going to revert back. So why do that? You know, and like that upcoming Moon Knight series is again delves into a very personal tale, contextualizing the big events that has happened and then spinning out a very character centric story. At least that's what we expect. So that's the stuff that I feel like is missing from this. It does all the setup for you, but never really runs with the smaller stories that can like give it its heartbeat. But I digress. So let's get into Fortnite DC, which I never. So for those who aren't familiar, I imagine most people are, Batman Fortnite is a tie-in series, a crossover series that I know from personal experience and going to a comic store that like is selling out everywhere. People can't find one. People are like eBaying these things. One, because they come with codes for the actual game, for in-game skins. Content. Yeah. Yep. And then two, it just seems to be really popular.
Awesome. It's also awesome. It's like unexpectedly awesome. It's
really good.
This book has no excuse to be this
good. Been in my comic queue for like a month since issue one. I was like, man, I got so much other stuff to read. I'm not reading this, but I never deleted it because I was like, I'm curious, but I'd always play something over it. Then I sat down and read issue one for this to get ready for the show, and I was like, this is awesome. And I like jumped right into issue two. Who knew that, like, after all this Joker war crap and everything we've been through, like, one of the most awesome Batman stories I would read would be Batman freaking Fortnite? Because I was like, because the question is, how do you put Batman together in a Fortnite game? And yet they make this awesome Lost style kind of Edge of Tomorrow style tale where they take everything from the video game and turn it into Batman just dying and being reborn and having to get out of a Fortnite game. And it's awesome.
Christos Gage, man, that's some really good work here. I will say, so I know
that he's great. He's great at stuff like
this. Yes, he is. You should check out some of his stuff on the Buffy books too, because it's excellent. But I will say, I know Janelle is not a Fortnite fan. So did this win you over?
I don't think this book wins anyone over.
Because going into it, I imagine you didn't have high expectations.
So I was really going into it. I was really hopeful that it just happened to have the same name as the video game. I like did not realize that it was actually going to be part of the entire storyline. I just had no idea what I was getting into. Okay. I thought they did a spectacular job because obviously like the idea of the storm and what Fortnite is about is very hard. I didn't understand how they would do that. I will say they did a brilliant job, but as someone who just cannot stand that video game, it was hard for me to just get too into it. Every time I'd find myself getting wrapped up in the story, I'd go, but it's about Fortnite. Like, I would just get so annoyed.
Fortnite has a surprisingly large amount of ongoing continuity
that really is
being underserved here, because this series has done two things for me. One, I love that this book is basically doing live, die, repeat, you know, like it with Batman, you know, almost at the same level as that movie did, because I freaking love that movie. So that concept is phenomenal. I also love seeing places that, like, I know I've been at in the game. Right. Like, there it opens and there's that bridge. You know,
yeah, I mean, if they were doing, like, Mario Kart, oh, Batman, man, I'd be excited.
I've been there and Batman's there. But also, too, how have we not gotten a licensed Fortnite book that takes place, like, in continuity, that's telling the story, you know, of the stuff that's going on, you know, during the seasons? Right. Like, that there's a lot there that I think really got, like, has me way more excited to want to check out than I ever thought.
You're totally right. I am. I'm very surprised, but I really liked the book. I still don't like the game. And the only thing going against it for me was that, like, I just, every time I started to get too into it, I was like, oh crap, this is about that game that I don't like. But other than that, great job.
I think, personally for you, I get what that happened, but I think the book does a good job of not making, you know, it. Right.
It's Fortnite, not overly, the emphasis isn't too much on it. Yeah.
It's much more of a Batman story. It could be him
and Catwoman,
and Catwoman, any kind of, and it's a good Batman Catwoman story.
Well, it's a detective story.
That's what I was gonna say. This is actually the most detective, world's greatest detective style Batman we've seen. Even more so than Tom Taylor's, like, detective book, which was really good and leaned into that. But this is by far, I haven't seen this since, like, good Lord, this is like Silver Age.
Carving coordinates into himself. Right. Like,
the Batarang with the message and with, like, the notes. So good. It's so good. This is what we wanted Arkham Knight to be.
Fortnite now. God.
And there's even, like, a fun Harley Quinn character for this.
Loved,
like,
her in
who just loves being in this and doesn't care what's going on and how much she dies.
There's, like, moments in the thing where, like, right, like when the storm starts coming in and Batman references the sound, we all know what people who play the game, we all know what that sound is, right? And so it's a really cool kind of immersive experience, knowing, you know, cosmetics stuff aside, right? Like, this is the cheapest you're going to get licensed cosmetics if you buy the comic, you know, from off the rack at the store. Cause, like, you know, to get the first issue had a Harley Quinn skin in the store, that thing's going to be like $12. But, you know, when it, you know, whatever that amount is in V-Bucks, you can pick up this issue for $6. Yeah. That's also a skin, basically.
Jim would know this more than me, because you're a more avid player in Fortnite. I've just returned to the Fortnite roost. Yeah. But, oh, like, God. You're the skins. So the Batman skin in the book, is that the one that is also available in the game?
That's the one that they are going to make. That's the one they are going to make available in the store. There is another Batman skin that, if you collect all 7 codes, you will get a bonus Batman skin for
free. I think it's genius making the skin, like, having the skin be the costume he's wearing in the story.
Yep.
Be the one you get in the game, I think, is flipping brilliant. Like, I think that's
perfect. I've been doing this for now, like, 12 years. And ever since I started in the 2010s, there's been this dream of, like, the ultimate multimedia platform kind of thing you could do. And I wouldn't be surprised if kind of animated movie or something like this
is it Fortnite?
Is the next step in, something you can watch in Fortnite. Like, you know, this is just we are going through the looking glass, like, now, it works.
That's the whole purpose of Party Royale, right? Yeah. To, like, go sit and watch stuff. Or, like, you know, you have that Star Wars event that they had.
Bennett trailer, Travis Scott concert. I mean, they're actually taking this game and doing something, this multimedia thing and licensing thing, better than just about anybody has done it. Like,
yeah.
And now, you're buying comics to get skins that you're going to become the comic character in the game, which attracts people to both the comic and the game, and it makes it actually kind of an awesome experience.
It's working, man.
Yeah, it's working.
I was in a store, and they literally, like, people come in, and it's like, do you have the Fortnite comic? And they're like, no, man, we're out. And they're like, oh, we already have one. We're just looking to pick up an extra copy. We have one reserved. I literally heard someone say we have one reserved at another location. We're traveling. They were out of town coming into a comic store to look for this book that they already had. And then they already had reserved somewhere else. Like that is a sign that your campaign is working. Yep.
So, yeah, I know it's early, and I know the Marvel integration was something completely different, but I know it's early to say, but I think DC is going to pull off this partnership better than Marvel did.
Oh yeah, I think so.
That's awesome.
Marvel stuff. I mean, got people
Marvel stuff got people
into the Fortnite stuff, right? This is getting people across multiple platforms, into DC stuff. It's actually working to their benefit. Yep. It's pretty good. It's pretty nuts. I did not expect that. I thought Matt was crazy when he put that in there.
Here's the thing. Me too. I was initially not Me going too. To.
Oh, and if then, you weren't going to, I was definitely going to bring it up.
And then I read it. Love it. I read it and then I heard the buzz and then I literally kept just seeing people, the same reaction. It was literally what the hell is this? Why is this so good? Was literally the thing that kept coming up. It's it has no business being that good, but it is. Also, kudos to Gage for actually, I don't know if he's a fan or not of Fortnite, but you would not be able to tell if he wasn't, because that shows there's an understanding of how the mechanics
they
work.
They have
and how
a the world set works. Of panels for just having Harley Quinn do that dance.
Right. Oh, that was great. That was awesome. She's gone native.
I do want to call out the creative team here, because Christos Gage, like I said, he is great at this. He wrote the Spider-Man game, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows this world really well, this side of the world really well. Riley Brown, man, has got some of the cleanest lines business, and I don't think he gets projects. This is a huge project for him, so I'm glad he got it, but like main world DC or whatever at Marvel, Inter, the dude does not get nearly enough bigger projects, and I'm glad that he got this, because it looks great, it fits his style just perfectly, and so it's just really well done, top notch. And I believe I'm forgetting his name and I feel awful, but I guess the co-creator of the game is also credited with story on this. Donald Mustard is in on this too, so
it makes a difference. So before we move on to some other shout outs, there were a couple other books this week, and ironically one I'm going to point out is that DC's been doing a lot of kind of new deluxe collections of some of their more iconic stories, and Tower of Babel is one of the newest ones. I think it actually came out last week.
You did.
If you are looking, because it's available, right, and if you are in the store for Batman Fortnite, that's one of my favorite stories of mm-hmm. the classic Justice League. And
I actually never read it, and now I'm reading it for the first time.
Oh man.
Yes. Kofi. So good. Good. So good.
And I have it on the old phone over here.
If you want a testament to just how big a jerk Batman's whole thing can be sometimes, if it's in the wrong hands, this is a perfect example. So yeah, I definitely would recommend that. Also, Marauders number 20, is in stores now. That book is not necessary reading to any of the Hellfire Gala stuff that's coming or any of that.
Speaking of, I literally just got to, I'll let you finish and then go ahead.
I will say, we were talking about how the Avengers run is kind of missing those smaller, some of that smaller personal stuff that contextualizes the big epic things. And this book is a perfect example of when you devote that time. And Marauders has done that time and time again. They focus on the family aspects of the team and everything. This is all about Storm leaving the team. That's the whole issue. It's nothing. You could really just skip it and go, oh, hey, why isn't Storm around? They could explain it in an editor's note, right? But this whole issue is about that. And it's fantastic. But it's just this group of characters interacting, sharing memories. It's a clip show in any other TV show. But it works so well. And again, that's a testament to the creative team and how they put that book together. Also, King Deadpool Volume 2 is out. Okay. I am bummed that this series got canceled, but the whole second volume, now the whole series is in trade. You should totally check it out. It's fantastic. It's hilarious. It's my favorite Deadpool in recent years.
Speaking of Hellfire Gala, this literally just came in the mail for me. It looks like it is a...
Is that your invite?
This is my invitation. So kind of live unboxing.
Oh, you're doing a live unboxing.
Sure is. Looks like I got an invite.
Wow, that's awesome.
I don't even know what that means. I know you showed everybody your address, but I don't know what that means.
Did I literally just show everyone my address?
Yeah, you just talked to everybody. Okay. Oh, it's all right.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it just looks like this is just an invitation. It says so when cool. and where to be, and then basically here are all the Hellfire Gala books.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Live unboxing.
Live unboxing. That's comics.
All right, comics. Okay, we're going to get out of here, but we have some quick mentions at the end. I'm going to shout out. I went back to theaters for the first time this past week to see Demon Slayer Mugen Train, the Demon Slayer movie, which kind of fills the gap between season one and season two. Demon Slayer is like the biggest thing in anime manga right now. And the movie didn't disappoint. It was glorious to see on the big screen and everything you love about Demon Slayer. I've read the whole manga since because I couldn't wait for season two. And this was a really awesome adaptation of it. It has action. It has some really deep messed up concepts in it. And it has some great battles and some great twists to it. So I was glad to get back in theaters and check this one out. Demon Slayer movie. I know it'll be, if you're still not comfortable going to theaters, I know it'll be on home release pretty soon. So, you know, sit tight. It'll be coming. But that was a pretty great experience. And for home viewing, I also saw Amazon's Without Remorse, the new Michael B. Jordan, Tom Clancy action movie, which was, it was okay. The writing wasn't that great. It was up there with, it's like on par with that Chris Hemsworth movie that I already forget the name of. The Netflix movie he did.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, when he was the troubled soldier.
I was going to say Six Underground, but I think that's the Ryan Reynolds Netflix one.
Yeah. So this one.
Extraction. Thank you.
Extraction, yeah. Shout out to Amazon, though. This was the biggest one of those streaming, like, blockbuster movies. This felt like a real theatrical blockbuster movie. Without Remorse has some awesome action sequences in it. From plane crashes to shootouts to just hand-to-hand combat fights. Like a tri-sniper ambush, like it's pretty good. And of course, it's Michael B. Jordan. He does his thing. And
was this one of those? Was this a movie that they bought from Paramount?
I think so. Don't ask me. That's a producer question.
Sure did.
No, I'm
sure.
Think it is. Yeah. So that's why it feels so big in scale. So that's, yeah, I mean, it is really, if you're looking for something on streaming for your home theater system, it is a big movie. Story is just okay. It's not great on the espionage twists and what's really going on, but it has a good cast of characters. My girl from Slim, from Queen and Slim, is in it as a major character. Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell's really good in it. And some other people that we've seen, I think the villain from Bad Boys for Life and stuff. So it's cool to check out. And if feels like a big film. So put that on your home theater and check that out if you're still at home. Janelle, I want to cut you off before you even say what you wrote.
No, I was going to say, Janelle, any shout outs?
I mean, I've just been watching like little like shows on Disney Plus. I just kind of been flying through them. Like Marvel 616 is pretty cool, or 616. I'm probably saying that wrong. That's really good. And nothing really notable. I've honestly just been reading more comics, like the Marvel one that you sent me, Matt, and just really enjoying
that. I sent you Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah,
shout out to Rich in the Booth. Yes, Lauren London does reappear on the screen since, you know, the tragic loss of Nipsey Hussle. She is in this movie. So shout out to Rich if that's what you're looking for in this movie. Nice. Although it might not be what you're looking for in this movie. Just yeah. there's a caveat there, but yeah, she's in it.
Very cool. Yeah. So just I read, you know, Captain Marvel, loving it, really enjoying it.
Right, the Doctor Strange?
It's so good. And yes, Doctor Strange looks so hot in that one. They drew him hot. I was like, yes, thank you. That's amazing. Sometimes they draw him like not super attractive. And then sometimes you got to find the right artist. And I really love him in this one.
He's a good looking sorcerer, man.
He sharp, is.
What if you got it, man? That's all I'm saying.
Just a wizard without a hat.
Before COVID cuts me off, I watched a reality show.
Yay!
Are you about to talk The Circle?
I watched Big Shot Circle with Bethany Frankel.
And yeah, we did The Circle last week.
What is that even about?
Okay, I don't know.
So it's essentially The Apprentice with Bethany because she's looking for like a VP of her thing. I missed all the Real Housewives stuff. Like, I've never actually watched one of those. I am hooked on this show. I will credit Anissa because she actually got me hooked on it. I love this show. I need a little reality.
I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back to shit that our audience probably cares about. If people are not watching, people are not watching My Hero Academia, get on the train. Get on the train. Just do it. Because it is so good. so
such a potty mouth today.
So Jim. Good.
Yeah, my hair rocks, man. That's awesome. To Alex, I don't know about everybody else. I'm vaccinated. If you want to know, yes, yes, I am. I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we got to Bethany Frankel or this talk, but yes, yes, I am.
It's fun. You leave me.
All right, Kofi, send us home.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that'll be the weird ending to this episode of Comic Book Nation. If you're ever looking to tune into the show ever again, we're here Wednesdays at noon. We are live on Twitch, Facebook, and on YouTube. If you missed the show, you can hop on over to YouTube and rewatch right when the show is over. If you want to listen, we're on all the major podcast platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You can tell any smart home device, fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, and it'll get it going for you. If you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars. That would be much appreciated. If you want to talk to us, we also have the at Comic Book Nation Twitter handle, or you can talk to us individually. I'm at Kofi Outlaw.
I'm at Aguilar CB.
I am at Janelle Wheeler.
All right, Jim Viscardi.
And if you like our podcast, you can also catch Jim pretty regularly over on our Marvel podcast, Phase Zero, and our Pokemon podcast, A Wild Pokemon Has Appeared. He just is kind of producing this whole thing, so you can catch him on those other podcasts. Oh my gosh, I want to get the podcasts. New game.
Pokemon so, Snap. Pokemon
you guys, Snap, you save it for that podcast.
Go get it. Go get Pokemon Snap.
It's that'll so do it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Comic Book Nation. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Deuces.